And continuing with our mini-series or theme on Wednesday nights, I've been asked to discuss the principle in Matthew 3, verse 8. Matthew 3, verse 8. This is talking about John the Baptizer and his preaching. And in the King James Version, it says, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." Another translation says it this way, and perhaps this is a little bit better in regard to the verb tenses, "Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I want you to consider the context of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just for a quick moment, and then we'll make application in the book of Ephesians. But notice here in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew what this idea or the message is in verse 2 and verse 6, where John the Baptizer is preaching and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now look at verse 6, if you will. "And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So apparently here they had confessed sins, they were being baptized, a baptism that was commanded by God. We learn that later in the Bible. Jesus will ask a question about the baptism of John. It was a new commandment that Christ will carry over into the New Testament, and it's the Christian baptism or Christ baptism, and the apostles will preach that throughout the book of Acts, and we today still preach that same message. The principles here will apply to us, I think, is very interesting in regard to what we do today in order to become a Christian. Repentance is very important. So that's the message there basically in Matthew's account. But then notice some of the specifics relative to what bearing fruit, repentance, fruits worthy or meet for repentance looks like. So notice here now verses 7 and following. These are some examples. And so part of the repentance factor here had to do with the Pharisees and Sadducees who would come to his baptism. And he said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Notice verse 9. Their thinking was wrong because John says, "Don't think within yourselves and say, we have Abraham to our father. Therefore, our DNA or our genetics ensures our salvation." That's the wrong attitude. You're thinking incorrectly because God of these stones is able to raise up children unto Abraham. And so their thinking was wrong. Thinking is a part of the repentance process. Getting your thinking correct. Thinking correctly. He then says in verse 10, "The axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So now you've got to consider whether or not you're bringing forth good fruit. And the only way to do that is really by what you may have learned or did learn last Wednesday night, that the seed produces after its own kind. And that's another lesson. But nonetheless, notice here again that the hand of judgment is in God's hands, verses 11 and 12. "And therefore, Jesus who is coming, and whose shoes John is not even worthy to bear down and unloose, this Jesus will baptize you in time with completion." That's the idea of the Holy Spirit, "and with fire or judgment." Fulfilled judgment. Judgment that will be, again, absolute judgment based upon the Word of God, John 12, 48. Now, look at Mark's account just for a moment, just for the parallel thoughts briefly. In Mark chapter 1, as you consider the synoptic accounts, I want you to notice here just a few things. Verses 1 through 8, again, notice the preparation involved. That John the Baptizer was preparing the way of the Lord. And by doing this, this is why repentance was so important. Now, verse 3 says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That can't happen unless people are repenting and then demonstrating that. Notice again in verse 4, he's preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. If you want to have the remission of your sins, you need to get baptism correct by understanding what repentance means. And that's important to understand for us today, because you're going to see that in just a moment. So you'll see this parallel in Mark's account. But now notice Luke's account, Luke 3. In Luke chapter 3, Luke gets pretty graphic, a little bit more detailed on the context of what repentance looks like. Again, remember, we're talking about bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. What does that look like? What do these fruits of repentance look like? Well, again, here in context, look at Luke 13. Look at verse 3. Again, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So in other words, you wouldn't be baptized unless you had repented first. You understood that. You were bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance, and then you'd be baptized. Then notice Luke chapter 3 and verse number 5, where it says, "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth." There's something about repentance that equalizes and levelizes. I find that interesting in regard to sin, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, all are in need of repentance to get this right. And so we have to look at verse 8. "Therefore, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance." And again, he says, don't have the wrong attitude or understanding that you are of the physical genealogical line of Abraham, because that won't save you. That axe is laid unto the root of those trees. And God is going to bring forth fruit based upon His word. And it won't look like a Jew, but it will look like a Christian, which is going to be named after Christ. And John is preparing us for that. In this context, people are saying, "What shall we do then?" They're really asking honest questions in verse 10. I find that interesting that you'll have that same situation in Acts chapter 2 when Luke writes the book of Acts. And he comes back and he preaches the gospel there, demonstrating that through Peter. And in Acts 2:37, after Peter preaches amongst the other apostles, they cry out and say, "What must we do?" Well, in that context, it's the same thing for us today. It's repent. Now, I want you to see this. I think this is interesting. As I looked at John's account today and I considered the parallels, I wanted to kind of look at the context again. I always try to study fresh because I want to continue. I'm always growing. I'm always learning something I hadn't seen. Not a new doctrine, but it's just the depth of the scriptures is right here. Look at John chapter 1. This is in the context of John's account, talking about John the baptizer preaching. He was bearing witness of the light in verse 7, and that through him all might be able to believe. So he's preparing the way here in John chapter 1, verses 6 and following. But I want you to notice what repentance then does in verse 12. "For those there that were repenting and truly bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance," look at John 1 verse 12. "As many as received him," that is, they received his message. Those who were thinking incorrectly, the Sadducees saying, "Well, we have Abraham. We're of Abraham." He said, "No, don't think that way. You're thinking wrong." Those who are asking the question there in Luke, "Well, what must we do?" He's saying, "You're going to have to bring forth fruit. You're going to think right. You're going to have to, as a soldier, not be abusive or brutal. As a tax collector, don't be overtaxing people. Do your job and do it well." And that then, in John 1 verse 12, John says, "To them gave he power," or the right, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, that's in the context of John's preaching. If they had not brought forth fruits worthy of repentance, then they would not be able to become sons of God. They were not given a right to become sons of God. You have to bring forth fruits before you can become a son of God. So how do you become a son of God? You're going to have to learn what repentance looks like. Now, let me show you in the New Testament further in Ephesians 4, and I'll quit. This is the last text. I told Mike I wouldn't get him in trouble tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and start with me at verse 17 through the end of the text. I'm telling you, some people they don't understand how important repentance is. It's a change of heart that manifests itself into a change of action. And the heart has to be changed by the will of God, the preaching of the gospel. So look at Ephesians 4, verse 17. Paul writing to those at Ephesus, reminding them of what they should look like as Christians. And he'll say some things here that demonstrate what repentance is to continually look like. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Notice the mind. Thinking incorrectly. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now here's repentance here specifically. That you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Those things have to be put off. And you have to demonstrate that. I've changed. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where it starts, in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Now watch this. If you are a liar, you've got to put that away. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Verse 26, you're angry? Well, you better be angry and sin not. Anger's not a bad problem. Just make sure it's not a sinful problem. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. But there's also a problem with anger. And people that have anger issues need to get that under control. And so he says there, neither give place to the devil. Anger and the devil are related to each other. I don't think the devil's very happy that his condemnation is eternal. He's angry. He's a roaring lion. I've heard them lions roar in the real world, and I don't like it. I'm glad I'm not married to a lion. Then look at verse 28. Here's repentance. Let him that stole steal no more. That's repentance. But rather let him labor, working with his hands. That's repentance. What does a man who used to steal do? He goes to work. He pays back his debts and he gives it back. Working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth, benevolent person. And so on here. This is repentance. And you can read that whole chapter there. If you look at chapter 5, verse 1, it's all about walking in love in verse 2, as Christ also hath loved us. You know, that's what John the Baptizer was preparing for us, showing us the way. And he was telling those individuals they needed to bring forth these kinds of fruits. If you lie, you need to quit lying. If you stole, you need to quit stealing. You need to go to work. It doesn't just mean quit stealing. Every man must work. If you do not work, you're not worthy to eat, the Bible says. Every man needs to pull his own part. You know, there's no such thing as sitting around waiting on other people to feed you. You're supposed to pull your own part. That's why there it said, to do good unto them that need, in verse 28. And so that's repentance. And that's the demonstration of what bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance looks like. I'm gonna quit. I'm going to quit that activity. And I'm going to start doing this. And so we preach that same message today, because it carries over into Christ's message in Luke 13, 3 and 5. Jesus told his own disciples when they were being judgmental and critical of other sinners and pointing out the foolishness of their sins and being judgmental, he says, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he said it again, he emphasized it a second time in verse 5. So, in order for us to be approved or accepted by God, to have a right to become the Son of God in John 1:12, that means we've got to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Brethren, that's why we don't just baptize babies. What do babies need to repent of? What fruits could they bring forward? Even a toddler that might be a little biting rascal. You might try to swat him and tell him you better knock that off, but he's not. He's in that training phase. But you take a mature individual that understands they're stealing, understands they're a sinner, well, then they need to quit that before they make up their mind to obey the gospel. They need to know that they have to quit that and then bring forth fruits, action, saying, I'm going to quit that, and being immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Now you're ready for baptism. But you're not if you're not ready to repent. So you can't say, well, I don't know if I'm ready to give up the bottle yet. I still like a little nip and a little drink here. And I don't know if I'm... Well, you're not ready for baptism. That you're not bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. That doesn't demonstrate repentance. That's not a change of heart, which leads to a change of action. And that is the definition of what repentance is. But I just wanted to show you and illustrate that by those texts. And so that's why it's so important to understand what repentance looks like. Will that make a difference if someone does that before they're obedient to the gospel? Does it also make a difference when someone just gets wet and they haven't repented and we wonder why they haven't really ever changed? You see, we've got to get that mind right first and help you understand that you've got to change. So maybe you're here tonight and you know, well, it's time. I need to repent. Well, that's good. It's the greatest thing you'll do. You'll make your mind up to be a lot better person than old thief. And now you're going to start contributing to society and to the Lord's church and the gospel. And that's the greatest thing you can do. Repentance. Bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. We want to see that. Jesus truly said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And we can identify pretty quick if a person is a penitent person. So if you're here tonight and you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, and yet you know I'm ready, and you're ready to bring forth those fruits worthy of repentance, make that confession before men publicly that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and be baptized into water for the remission of your sins, then we're ready to assist you in making the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. If we can help you, why don't you let us know? Then as together we stand and we sing.